He's so lovable, isn't he?
Amen.
He's so beautiful. Musicians, you can find your seats. Amen. I'm so needy of him.
Oh yeah.
Now we all are.
Yeah.
Every day.
Amen.
Every hour.
Yeah.
Got wonderful news. Brother Farouz called me today. Brother William Belliard, I believe he's the one that was, they attempted his kidnapping. He was released.
Thank you.
Brother Davoud, he was released. Jeff, these are Christians in Iran, and they've been under persecution from the government, and they've been arrested. There's been about 10 of them. It's down to 2. And Brother Barouz will be released. I couldn't really understand the words he was saying, but it sounded like when the day comes or in the next few days. So they're working on getting that bail taken care of, so he'll be released. So pray for Brother Youssef. He's been in there since October 12th. He's the last one.
Wow.
Still in prison, and I don't think it's a coincidence. He's one of the most powerful evangelists in all of Iran that the Lord has been working through, so please pray for him. Very good news. I think most of you got the email from me about our first walk into, it's not really called Little Somalia, but that's what I call it in Minneapolis. Little Italy is in New York, might as well be Little Somalia, but it was amazing to see the Lord really go before us and give us an appointment. It came in a way that we never thought or expected, but all of a sudden there was that guy walking behind us, Nate steps out of the way, and we said hello to him, and I teased him and asked him if he was staying out of trouble, and 2 hours later we were done talking to him. So I wouldn't at all say that we had this great way of presenting. We just presented the gospel to him in a perfect way. You're not going to do that with Muslims, especially these kind of folks. I mean, they're very just like us, evangelical. They want to share their faith. But I believe we built some trust, don't you guys? We built some trust, and he may have seen something. The windows of his little world were expanded a little bit by what he heard from us. I just ask that you pray for him and pray for his stomach. I believe that the Lord Jesus will vindicate himself there as well. So I, along with outreach, on my what's been on my heart a lot, off and on for the last 6-7 months, brother. When the conversation ended, he said, oh yeah, I live here. He spouted out his address and gave us his phone number. So it was you don't do that if you don't feel like you want to talk to somebody again. So he'd been here 13 years. So you know, you can be here 13 years, but if you're mostly working in that little area, living in that little area, it's not much different than still being in another country. It really, you walk into that, the restaurant we walked into, it really felt like we did walk into another country. Different, other than the Cartoon Network being on for a little kid. The people sitting around, and then the call to prayer that came when we were just about done with our meal was very interesting. Very interesting. But so what's been on my heart a long time, and I think even around the time that Brother Don really had the burden to, you know, let's rebuild the foundation. Let's look at what are the foundations. We never, you know, we come to the message and here it is, guys. Just listen to the tapes and the books and just walk in it, but not ever really getting the foundation of the gospel and what he's done for us. My thing on burden on my heart is, you know, we so many times we argue this church argues with that church and these people. But let's come back. Let's come back to the gospel. Let's come back to the truth that was preached by Brother Branham.
Right.
Out of the simple things are so glorious and so beautiful that we forget that and we, well, seven thunders. Well, what do you think about seven thunders, brother? Oh no, you're wrong there. Oh, there's two souls. What about? Let's contend for the faith. I don't see anywhere in the New Testament where the apostles were concerned about the seven thunders or all these things. They're in the Bible. So yes, you know, we need to hearken to the whole counsel of God. I'm not saying that. You know, there's prophecy. There's different things that we need to see and hear. But the basic gospel that's been, we've been restored to, it needs to be proclaimed around the world and in our backyard too. So, you know, we can see God has shown us that there's, you know, there's one God. There's not three gods. There's not three separate persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but there's one God who's manifested Himself throughout time.
Amen.
In various different ways. He's manifested Himself as a Father. He's manifested Himself through the person of His Son. And He's manifested Himself in us. It's one God. It's not three. We see that. We understand that. We understand the importance of water baptism. Now, I could say for myself, until I really studied it, I didn't fully grasp it. And that's kind of what's been on my heart lately. And that I want to really go into. You know, we understand what salvation, redemption is all about. It's to bring us back to the original. Bring us back to what He originally intended mankind to have there, like in the Garden of Eden. We understand the election of God, predestination. We understand that once God gets a hold of you and changes you, you're not going to go back on that. Once that happens, you're forever changed.
That's right.
And you're going to be a part of His kingdom. He's not going to lose one. We understand these things.
Hallelujah.
But is it our focus? Does it drive our lives? Does it drive our conversations at work amongst ourselves? You know, it's so easy. You know, once a controversial topic, which I am known to talk about controversial topics on my website. Once it comes up, oh, long list of this person says this, and that person says this, and this person says that, but you present something simple, and understandably, because we believe truth is important. But something simple comes up, something, the reality of Acts 2:38. You know, people agree, they like it, but is it something that we want to talk about, that we want to focus on, that we want to share with other people?
Amen.
You know, that's the thing that's really
right.
Heavy on my heart, and I want to see that.
Amen.
Around the world, not just in me, and I'm just a little insignificant guy here, but I love the Lord, and I believe His word needs to go out. And you know, we have all the denominations trying to bring the gospel, but are they really bringing scriptural truth to the whole world? God has given as a gift and vindicated scriptural truth that we need to bring. Not this strange doctrine and that strange doctrine, and we'll spread with that our personalities around the world. No. We only want Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To be spread around the world.
That's right.
We want His original gospel. Contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Once delivered, it says once for all delivered. What was once preached by Paul, you can't change it. He said, if I come and try to tell you something different than what I told you before, or an angel from heaven comes, let me or that angel be cursed.
Mm-hmm.
That's the original gospel that we're called to contend for.
Amen.
And God has for us. So I want to talk about that original gospel and salvation tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are so, so good to us. Lord, I'm just placing my myself into your hands and each one here, Lord. I just pray that you would bind Satan and cast him out. I pray that you would take your word, Lord, and bring it forth with your power, with your presence, with your authority, Lord. I'm nothing, Lord. I'm nobody. I don't have anything good within myself to share, Lord, but your word is truth. And thank you for it.
Yes.
Help us, Father. Help us to be what you want us to be. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we always hear, well, so-and-so is a minister. And I have to be honest, I can't stand that terminology. He's a minister. Well, brothers and sisters, I have to tell you this. We are all ministers.
Yes.
Ephesians 4, you don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but it's Ephesians 4, 11, and... Jesus is the one that did this, but he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for what? It says, for the perfecting of the saints, comma, for the work of the ministry.
Amen.
But, brothers and sisters, that word perfecting, complete furnishing or equipping. And if you look back, the English Standard Version, it says, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's the purpose. For the minister that stands behind here, his purpose for the is for the minister out there to equip them.
Amen.
For that work.
Thank you, Lord.
That's what the purpose behind here. There's no different. There's no... The elders of the church, they stand above the rest of them, or the pastor stands above the rest of everybody knows that here. We don't even like to call anybody a pastor. We don't even like to call it a church. But we're so tired of organization.
Yeah.
We just want the Holy Spirit to lead us. And we all have a ministry. Every one of us has a ministry. So you know that's what the purpose of this is. That's why I feel like what I'm going to say tonight is. The purpose is to equip the saints of God here tonight for the work of the ministry.
Amen.
So, Christianity, what Christ brought to us through His work was not to make an organization.
That's right.
Or to make a corporation that you see so many churches are such a corporate life. He came primarily to make new creatures. That's what Christianity is all about. That's what the gospel is all about. It's not about all these other things that go along with it you see out there that bring bondage, that bring a reproach upon Christ. It's about making new creations, new creatures, whole new beings. That transformation that takes place in your life, that's what He came to do.
Mm-hmm.
He came to save us.
Right.
He came to reveal God as a Savior. If you look in the Hebrew, turn with me to Genesis 49. Different words. It was astounding to me to look at the different words for salvation because they all sum up in the name Jesus. Genesis 49, verse 18. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. The word salvation there is Yeshua, with a not like Joshua's name. Joshua's name in Hebrew would be Y-A. H-S-H, but this is Y-E-S-H. I just love that. So close, right there, right on with salvation.
Yeah.
I have waited for thy Yeshua, O Lord. Deuteronomy 32. Verse 15. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness, that he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his Yeshua, his salvation. Psalm 35. Verse 3. Let's start with verse 1. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for mine help. Draw out also thy spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. In verse 9. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, it shall rejoice in his salvation. You see in these verses, you're looking at a natural salvation. You're seeing a deliverance. God delivering. That word there, if you look back to the Hebrew, Yeshua means deliverance, aid, victory, or even prosperity. And then next one is Psalm 37. Verse 39, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And that one is Teshua, or Teshua, which means rescue. But the rescue of the righteous is of the Lord. And then Isaiah 17. Verse 10, because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation, and hast not been mindful the rock of thy strength, therefore shalt thou plant pleasant plants, and shalt set it with strange lips. That salvation there is Yesha, which means liberty, or deliverance, or prosperity, or safety. And there's yet another word in Zechariah, chapter 9. Verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Salvation there is Yasha, which means to be open, wide, or free. It speaks of freedom in regards to salvation. The Hebrew understanding, as you see these many of these verses during the Old Testament times, is slightly different than our understanding of salvation. When they're looking at salvation, they're seeing something. Though they see this, understand the spiritual aspect of it, they're seeing the physical aspect of it, which God totally is. We could see that in our own lives, in our own finances. He's our Savior. He saves us. He comes to our aid. He delivers us. He sets us free. But yeah, to the Hebrews, it was almost completely external. Truly, I mean, they did understand that when they died, that they were going to go to heaven, and in the Lord was that type of salvation. But primarily, if you look through the Psalms, I mean, looking at the reference to the Psalms, there was literally hundreds and hundreds of verses to look at that spoke of salvation as the Lord delivering me in battle, the Lord giving me victory. Which truly, that external that the Jews were looking for, it would be fulfilled. Jesus will return, and the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. There will be that deliverance. In Jesus' time, they were looking for Him to overthrow Rome. And they were right to look for that, but it wasn't for that hour. It wasn't for that time. That will come when he does overthrow the kingdoms of this world. In the Greek, the word for salvation is different variances of soteria. And it basically means, and you've heard Brother Branham say, it means healing. You know, salvation, either healing, physical or spiritual salvation. It means rescue, it means safety. I forgot what the German word, somebody might be able to help me. Heidland? I don't know if that's right. But that's what the Savior, you know, Jesus Christ, their Savior, Jesus Christ, their Heidland, which means healer. He is a healer. That's what he came to do. We think of that in the physical. We see him heal and deliver, set free in those ways. But he came to heal spiritually too. He came to transform us and change us spiritually. Look at John 4. Verse 22. You worship, you know not what? We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Amen. Acts 4. Verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen.
Amen.
Romans 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. But what is the gospel? I just love how simple this is. Paul in 1 Corinthians, hold your hands there. We'll go back. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. So he's telling them, this is the gospel that I've declared to you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Amen. That's the gospel, that he died for our sins according to the Scriptures. This fulfilled that prophecy in Isaiah 53, that he was bruised for our transgressions. Amen. What a Savior. He was buried, and then he was raised again, also according to the Scriptures, that he would not leave his soul in hell, neither would he suffer his Holy One to see corruption. That is the gospel. That is the power of God unto salvation. Mm-hmm. Amen. Don't take that lightly. That is the power of God. What is the power of God? It's omnipotent. There's no end to that power. So when we go out and speak to people, when we tell them about this reality, when we tell them about that, that's the power of God unto salvation. There's power. The power of the Holy Spirit in those words.
Yes,
when you speak to them, just one word from Christ can change an entire life.
That's right.
Just one word. I mean, I think about this in people that have spoken to me, that have the Lord has touched my life. Just one little sentence that they said, it stuck with me. It's still with me to this day. What was that? It was the power of God unto salvation.
Yep.
We go out and when we speak, it's nerve-wracking. We're worried about ourselves and just speak His words. You know, no man can come to Christ unless the Father draws him. And that word there in Greek, I love it. No man can come to me unless the Father drags him. He grabs him by the ear through the word spoken, through this power of God. He grabs him by the ear and he drags him to Christ.
Hallelujah.
That's what God does. Our responsibility is tell it. Well, I don't know, who should I talk to? He said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Start with everyone. That's who you should start with. Who should I start with? Every person.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Every person that you know.
I like it.
Tell them
everyone
about it. Even if they already know, tell them again. It won't hurt them. It won't hurt them at all.
Amen.
That's what we're all called to be a part of that.
Yeah.
But what is it? What is that? Turn back to Romans 1. I see Nate followed my directions, but I didn't follow my own to hold my finger there, so. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. In the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. Oh, what does that mean? What does that mean that His righteousness is revealed? First of all, we know God must punish sin. When someone breaks His law and they're defying Him, when they break His law, it must be punished with severity. When you're breaking God's laws, you're sinning against an infinitely perfect being. Even the smallest thing that we do that goes against His word, if we steal something small that no one will miss, it's sinning against God Himself. He's infinitely perfect, and He has to punish that. He has to punish that. But He's also a forgiving God. He loves to forgive. He loves to show Himself as merciful. So how does He do that? How does both of these exist at the same time? It's perfect, Christ. That's how they exist at the same time. He came, He took our punishment. He bore our griefs on the cross. For God so loved the world, we take that so lightly because it's on all these billboards and signs at games and on Tim Tebow's eye paint when he plays in the national championship.
Sure.
But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes should not perish but have eternal life. What richness. He took our punishment for violating God's laws upon Himself in His body, and He bore it for us. And in that, the righteousness of God is revealed. It would be unrighteous for God to just pass over sins for no reason. But because of Christ, He can forgive our sins and remain righteousness. But how is it revealed? It's revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. Faith is how it is acquired. Faith is how you receive it.
Right.
It's so simple. Just be willing. You hear it, you receive it, and the righteousness of God is revealed to you and in you and in your life. He says, the just shall live by faith. I love that explanation of being justified. It's not as though you're simply forgiven when the blood is of Christ is applied to you. Forgiven, let's just say Nate, he slaps me around and punches me a little bit and say, Nate, you know what, I forgive you. But I still remember he did that, so I'm going to hold my arms up a little higher next time he comes around. Well, that's forgiveness. But to be justified, that's different. That's a different story. Justified means, you know what, we're going to hold a trial. Nate, did you punch Jason? Well, no, actually, I didn't. Well, so-and-so said you did, so the judge rules not guilty. That's what being justified is. You're not guilty. You didn't even do it. Amen. You never even sinned in the first place.
That's right.
What your standing is before God. Perfectly righteous. Perfectly holy before Him through the blood of Christ.
Yeah.
And what does that do? What is accomplished in us? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Oh, I just love that.
Yeah.
I've experienced that.
Amen.
In my life. God has taken me from being a guy that loved to smoke marijuana, to drink, and to use foul language, and He's taken me from that, and He's made me into a new man. It has no desire for that whatsoever. That's the power of God.
Amen.
Unto salvation.
Yes.
That's Christ's job. We can proclaim it, but what Christ does, He makes us new creatures. He takes the old man and He does away with it and makes a whole new, brand new man with a new nature and a new desire inside of Him. Amen. How do we get into Christ? By one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. That old man is dead, and the new man has come. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Through Christ, through His death, His burial, resurrection, we're reconciled with God. That means at one point in time we were enemies.
That's right.
At one point in time we hated God's guts and He hated our guts. But through Christ, we are reconciled. We're friends again.
Amen.
We're no longer enemies with God. And all these things are of God. The plan, the working of the plan, the power to do it, the transformation, it's all of God. It's not in what any man can do. But not only has He reconciled us, He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Double mercy to us. You've been reconciled, now I want you to go and proclaim this to others. Proclaim the message of reconciliation to others. Don't just hold it inside you. Verse 19, that is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Amen. He didn't reckon our sins to ourselves in Christ. Amen. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. God, through you, through me, is beseeching the world to be reconciled to him. That's what he's given to us. He's given that word to come. God gives you the opportunity to not be at enmity with him, to not be his enemy. Come. Come receive it. Come be a partaker of it. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Not only, as I said before, did he forgive us, but he made us the righteousness of God. Can you say that? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What love. Wow. What grace. Back here. How do we receive this? How do we get people to this? Well, number one is by telling them about it. And how does their heart respond? Ephesians 2. It's just our job to proclaim it. It's God's job to do the rest. Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. It's grace. The free giving of God. Through that are you saved through faith. When you hear the word and you believe it, you receive it. That's what that faith is. You hear it. You receive it. You believe it. Romans 10. Verse 9. Let's start verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Mm-hmm. So first you have to believe it, like the Philippian jailer. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy household. But what else? Paul says, it's necessary also to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You must confess. You must be willing to profess that Jesus is Lord. Not merely believing and it doesn't do anything, but you have to confess that. You have to make that profession. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just to say that right there, we lose that because in our minds, that's his name, Lord Jesus Christ. But to say Lord Jesus, that's a confession of his authority. Mm-hmm. It's a confession of who he is. He's the king. To say he's the Christ, that's a confession. We just think it's his proper name, but we believe he is the anointed one of God. Okay. We believe that all that God was put into him, and God was revealed through that man, Jesus. That's what that confession is. But even that turns me to Acts 2, where most of us are very familiar. We must believe, we must confess. Peter, his response, going the wrong way. After he preaches the hard, convicting sermon to those Jews in that hour, in that time, they believed it. And they responded. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Or remission, same word as forgiveness of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You have to believe. First it starts with faith. You hear the word and you say, that's for me. That's for me. You must confess it. Peter says you must repent. It means you recognize I've been wrong. I've been sinning before God. I need to repent. I need to turn from that way and turn to start following Him. Start walking with God. But He doesn't just say repent. He says, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That was to them, I'm going down. I'm identifying myself with Jesus Christ through baptism. I'm identifying myself with His death through baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission of sins, I must confess, I don't fully grasp what that's saying. To be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Clearly, we're forgiven by the blood. When the blood washes us, our sins are washed away. But somehow in this, through baptism, if you've truly believed, if you've truly repented, somehow through this, that blood is applied. I don't fully grasp, understand that, but I believe it. I believe it. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I love that. Brother Don has mentioned that Brother Branham would say, come and get instructions for receiving the Holy Ghost. You know what the instructions were? Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Yep. It's a gift, all those ands. It's a gift. It's a gift. So why do we have to do something to receive it? Jesus said, Brother Don, you remember where that scripture is? If you know how to give good gifts unto your children, I think it's Luke. If you know how to give good gifts unto your children, shall not your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit unto them that ask Him? It's a gift from Him, but He says He wants you to ask. Sure. Matthew 11:13. I got the point across. And each time, if you look, I'll give you the scriptures if you want to write them down. Anybody's taking notes. Acts. Let's just turn there. Acts 8. Verse 12. Anytime someone came to faith in Christ in the book of Acts, immediately the response was baptism.
Amen.
You need to be baptized in order to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. That was their response right there. They needed to be baptized. Acts 9, verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Amen. He was baptized there. And Paul, referring to this, I believe in Acts 22, verse 13, Verse 12, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou, or why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Back to Acts 10. That identifying with Christ through baptism. Verse 45. Verse 44, we'll start at. While Peter yet spake these words, God had to do things a little bit differently here for these old stubborn Jews. When the Gentiles had to receive the Holy Ghost, they had to get it first, otherwise they never would have got baptized at all. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? They heard, they received the word that Peter spoke. They were filled with the Holy Spirit to show the Jews that God was pouring it out also on the Gentiles. And then they were baptized.
Amen.
Acts 16. Verse 31. Verse 30. And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway.
Amen.
Acts 18. Verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Isn't that what the Great Commission says? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The one needs to follow the other. Acts 19. Verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, What were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Paul asked them, What a strange way of saying that. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? We don't know about the Holy Ghost. What were you baptized unto? What's the significance there? Acts 2:38 again. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall, not and you might, and it could possibly happen, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. That's the steps if you want the power of God unto salvation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can be like the denominations out there, and we can take part of the word, but we want to take all of the word. We want to take God's design, God's purpose.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the church in the book of Acts did, and that's what we want to do too. And that's what we want to proclaim. When I say, when we bring the gospel to people, we present the gospel, the truth of the gospel, and they say, what do we do? You say, well, let's pray the prayer of a sinner. Is that what Peter said?
No.
No, sir. He said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what we need to get to the world so desperately.
Yeah.
That's what the world needs to hear, is they need to hear the gospel, and they need to hear how it's going to be applied to their lives, how they're going to receive it in their lives. Turn with me to John 3. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Perfect, perfect parallel to what Peter said in Acts 2:38. 1 Peter 3. Verse 20. Well, we can start up at 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Sometimes that's a little bit wordy there. For me, I was looking at the word first of all, the like figure, which is basically saying Noah's flood, Noah's salvation through the flood in the ark corresponds to this, types this baptism. The English Standard Version says, baptism which corresponds to this now saves you. So take that parenthetical thought there, pointing back there. Baptism now saves you. Not a removal of dirt from the body. So not a bath. You're not going in there.
No.
The salvation you're getting is not a clean body, a nice shampooed hair with conditioner in it. That's not what that salvation is talking about. But it's an appeal to God for a good conscience.
Yeah.
Wow, that's deep. That's real deep. Baptism, so get rid of all the parenthetical. Baptism is an appeal to God for a good conscience. How can you understand that outside of understanding Acts 2:38? How do you get a good conscience? First of all, you can't just take this one scripture and say, well, it's only baptism because it's the blood. Because the old sacrifices couldn't make the worshiper perfect as pertaining to the conscience. But the new sacrifice, Christ, he can make the worshiper perfect.
That's right.
How is that applied? How does that come? Peter says, baptism now saves you, which is an appeal to God for a good conscience. So you can't dislocate, throw out one part of God's word because this one's easier because I can just do it. I can go and be baptized and now I can claim that. No, it takes God doing it. Water baptism, if you look up the quotes, Brother Branham says, water baptism itself, by itself, does not forgive your sins. There's no way. There's no way it would make the work of Christ of none effect.
Right.
Christ remits your sins. Christ forgives your sins. But what does Christ give us to do? It always puzzled me. Brother Branham says, full obedience to the Word of God entitles you to the token.
Amen.
What does that mean? I thought, I can't obey the Word of God and then get the Holy Spirit. Yes, you can. Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the token. Full obedience. Believe. confess, repent, be baptized, and you shall receive the token. You'll receive the Holy Ghost. And how does our conscience get perfected through the Holy Ghost? It's an appeal to God for the Holy Ghost, if you want to put it that way. That's what baptism is. Baptism now saves us, not the removal of dirt from your body, but an appeal to God for a good conscience. The blood gives us a good conscience, right? How is the blood applied? It's through the life that was in the blood. What's the life that was in the blood? The Spirit of Christ. That's how we get the good conscience. Just God's plan of salvation falls in perfectly. And He has these different types that He perfectly shows forth. Turn with me to Romans 6. We'll finish up here. Verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Amen. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And God, through His plan of salvation, giving us the antidote. Men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? And it's Acts 2:38. Repent. You've got to turn away from the old man. The old flesh, which is death. The old flesh, which is burdened by sin, by guilt. The conscience that is not good. The conscience that's evil and stained by sin. Turn away from that and turn towards God. Amen. And be baptized as an appeal to Him for that good conscience by the Holy Ghost. That's where you're going to get that new conscience, is when you receive that Holy Ghost. That makes you a new creature. Mm-hmm. Changes your whole life. Transforms you. Amen. From the inside out. Hallelujah. Musicians are going to come forward. The Lord is so good to us. Our only hope is, after we've received Him in our daily life, is to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, there's so many times that He'll speak to us and it scares us a little bit by what He's asking us to do, because we're too worried about ourself. But let's remember what He did for us. He had a decision to make in the Garden of Gethsemane when God was speaking to Him His whole life. Yeah. And He said, I'll go forward and I'll take all their sins upon Me. So it took me 6-7 months to obey the Lord and the burden He put on me. So I ask Him to forgive me, but He does. He does forgive us. He's patient with us. Yeah. He has a plan for us, for each of us. But let's just submit to His plan as soon as we can. Yeah. Let's not wait. Let's sing Amazing Grace. That's what it is. That's what this gospel is. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Oh, I pray that reality, what Jay was talking about, come in every single one of us. Like Brother Branham said, if it's in the neighborhood around the corner, the lady next door, the person in the next cube, whatever it is, be a witness, true and faithful to the Lord Jesus. And we'll say, well, the hour is late, there's very few seed left. You don't know. No, they might not be bright. It's none of our business. Help them to be all they can be in Christ. Yeah. Who knows? Save them. Lord, Lord won't lose one of his children, but he's going to use you.
Amen.
He's going to use you. That's what he's always been. He's going to use you to be that light, to be that salt. And he doesn't want your light in under a basket. Let's see, we already had prayer requests tonight, and we did lift up Mary. We'll continue to lift those up. Continue this Somali neighborhood and lift that brother up, Jesus. Wait on the Lord. Seek him. But the Spirit leads, give that guy a call again. He left you his phone number for some reason. You know, people just don't do things like that. This is my building. This is my apartment number. This is my phone number. That's very, very unusual. So I know there's several that still have a big burden for the Hispanic population, too. And anxious to see what the Lord does there, too. So all I know is that he wants us to reach out. Out from self. You just keep letting that light shine, brothers and sisters. Mary, how do you have a song? 674. Wonderful Words of Life. That's exactly what they are. I love that song. Yeah. Let's stand up and sing. You don't know your brother?
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty.
Announcement, Brother Dwayne Fair will be here next week, and so I'll have them speak next Wednesday service and the next Sunday. And we haven't been a long time since we've had a potluck, and we actually have the room reserved, but we can't get until 1:30. But hey, we're usually not there till about then anyway. Yeah. So I know. I hope you know, Brother Stephen and Brother Dave Smith. Tim will be here for sure. That's his weekend that he can come. I hope they're off that those weeks that they can come too. So it'd be nice to have a time where everybody can just get together and fellowship. Looking forward to that. So anyway, get your cooking things in gear and get some ideas up. Somebody has thought about, you know, we could do potlucks with a theme. I think Linda had mentioned that one time. But we started thinking about themes, and we thought, oh, how would you do pasta or something like that when you got to have it done before church, you know? 15 pastas. I feel like a toad just thinking about it. Sounds like fun. Anyway, be thinking about it and praying about it. And I pray that would be a good time of fellowship for everybody. Anybody have anything else tonight? Anybody thinking of? Jeff, tomorrow night's a Bible study. If you're interested, it'll be 7:30. And sometimes we meet right across from there in that little room there, right across from you. But anyway. What? Bible study tomorrow night. Yep. Okay, let's sing. What?
I just wanted to say, pray for Brother Bruce. Yes. Every 3 months, you have to, if you're a foreigner, you don't have permanent residency in Turkey, you have to leave the country. So, you know what it sounds like? It's always.
Well, I'm totally amazed at God working through the prayers of the saints around the world, delivering all of those. Just please don't forget to lift up Brother Yosef. Do you remember seeing pictures? Just a young guy and his family, and my heart just goes out there. 32. Young whippersnapper, huh, Randy? Oh, yeah. And he's been in there since October? Put yourself in a 5x5 place and just think of being in there since October and see, waiting on the Lord, you know. So just think how long a 24-hour period would feel inside of that. He really needs... Pray more than ever that the God would deliver him out of there, would you? Keep lifting him up. Okay, Brother Paul, lead us in prayer tonight, would you please?
Heavenly Father, so happy that you could...
Thank you, Lord.
...call us to be gathered.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Put that burden on our souls.
Yes.
Listen to your word, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm glad you heard the basics of the gospel was preached by Paul, by Peter, on the day of Pentecost. Just ground us in thy word, O Lord. Tonight, be well read, well studied to spread that word.
Yes.
Bless us each one. You've heard our prayer request tonight. Bless us each one as we go and keep these things on our mind and on our heart. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. You notice that in 1 Peter chapter 3, he just mentioned it, brought my where it says 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, brothers and sisters. What does that mean? Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Sanctify means what? Set aside. So what does it mean to sanctify the Lord God in your heart? Huh? That follows it. This is the first part. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. What's that mean, Greg? Yeah, it it's you're just exactly right. In that, coming to that place of setting him up in absolute reverence, that he has his reigning place. You're sanctifying the Lord God in my heart, that he is set aside, number one, always ruling, always reigning.
Amen.
See, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you of the reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and with fear. Meekness means what? Remember? Total reliance on God. Yeah. So you're not coming as authority on anything, but just how much that I needed him for everything, and I still do, and he'll be there for you. Amen. God bless you all, brothers and sisters. Have a good, blessed rest of the week.